You are listening to Matchpoint Canada, the official podcast of Tennis Canada. This week, we're very happy to highlight our terrific Canadian wheelchair tennis athletes. And to do so, we welcome on the coach of the National Wheelchair Tennis Program for Tennis Canada. He's a three-time Paralympic medalist, a former world number one in the sport. Happy to have Kai Schremeyer on the podcast. Kai, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, really appreciate it. First off, I'd love to hear more of your story and background in athletics, and specifically how you moved into wheelchair tennis and eventually found some great success there as a champion in the sport. When did you first transition to playing wheelchair tennis?
Yeah, so fairly straightforward story. I was an avid junior tennis player. My parents both play. So played lots till age 14. I was a decent junior, never had really had pro ambitions, but I was an okay player, played every day. At age 15, I was diagnosed with bone cancer, and hence my left leg had to be amputated. And so all of a sudden my tennis world falls apart. I tried to go back on a tennis court with a prosthetic leg, but that never really worked because I was comparing myself to the player. I was on two legs, and that wasn't helpful. So through a series of coincidences, I discovered wheelchair tennis, which way back, we're talking late 80s, early 90s, was really not well known at all. Yeah, got into that and got really excited about it. Discovered something that I could do competitively, and yeah, played for 14, 15 years competitively, three Paralympic Games. You cited some of the success I had.
Yeah, some fantastic success, and probably for someone like you, you've seen maybe the growth and rise in wheelchair tennis over the coming years. How has the popularity of this sport really surged? And maybe in terms of Tennis Canada, how have we begin to maybe further develop it from a grassroots level?
Yeah, so it's completely mind-boggling how the sport has developed since the humble beginnings in the 70s, and then when I got in the late 80s, everything is more professional, starting from the athletes, their preparation, just the tennis, the physical aspect, the mental preparation, the quality of the tournaments, the prize money. It has grown exponentially. Tennis Canada came on board in 1998, so we are the governing body for wheelchair tennis, and have had some fair share of success lately with Rob Shaw, one of our top players. We have a national team that is not at the top echelon, but kind of second tier with some good prospects. But the grassroots development is tricky because the pool of players is a lot smaller, and there are a lot of Paralympic sports that are going after the small pool of players or competitors with talent. So that's the tricky part, is the recruitment piece.
Well, I want to get into the national program and maybe how you eventually found coaching, because I know it wasn't something immediate for you. What first maybe interested you in coaching a sport like this, and what were some of the challenges and things you learned along the way as you rose to the ranks and now occupy a really important role with Tennis Canada?
Yes, so after my career as a professional competitive athlete in 2004, I had finished by playing the Athens Paralympics. I got interested in sports marketing, so I have a degree in a master's degree in sports marketing, and I worked for Coca-Cola for some 6 years on Olympic projects, Winter Games in Italy, and then the reason I am in Vancouver are the Vancouver 2010 Games. So I completely stepped away from wheelchair tennis just because I was burnt out after having done it for such a long time. But after a while, I realized, as much as I enjoyed this experience with Coke and their marketing campaign, it was not something that was really fulfilling me. So I felt like I wanted to make more of a contribution. So I was coaching on a kind of like a volunteer basis in Vancouver with their local program, and that's where Tennis Canada approached me and asked me if I wanted to get involved in coaching, and I took on the role as national development coach. As far as you asking me about some of the challenges, the main thing is, and I see that with a lot of former athletes, you have to have a certain humility. Just because you were a great athlete slash wheelchair tennis player does not mean you're automatically a good coach. It is quite tricky to convey the knowledge that you may have and to be able to pass that on in a way that beginner or intermediate players may understand it. So it took me a while to catch up and go through the coaching certification process at Tennis Canada. What bought me some time is I had credibility, obviously, because I had done it. I was there, but my knowledge had to catch up to fulfill this these expectations that my students may have had. So that's the trickiest piece, I would say.
Yeah, I'm fascinated from a coaching perspective, maybe how different elements are of wheelchair tennis to stand up tennis, and obviously having seen wheelchair tennis from the side, there must be some different technical elements that you have to consider. It could be because you are coaching a different sport. What are maybe some of the main differences in how you approach coaching the sport, whether it's between forehands, backhands, movement, etc.?
Yeah. So my starting point when I talk to coaches who are interested in getting involved is wheelchair tennis is still tennis. We're still talking the same shots. We're still talking the same court size, way of counting, the psychological aspects. However, there are obviously a few differences. The most noticeable rule difference is that the ball is allowed to bounce twice, which means you can take the ball off the first bounce, but you have the ability to let it bounce twice. That's the biggest rule change. And then as far as mobility, obviously we don't shuffle step, we don't sidestep, we don't run. We have to push our chair and to get from A to B and kind of have this circular mobility pattern where we kind of go in circles in order to recover properly and anticipate the next shot. So the biggest piece that I tell coaches when I work with coaches is to make sure they understand the cycle of mobility. There are some stroke differences. The most interesting one that coaches always find is the inverted or pronated backhand, which is basically just taking a forehand grip and then kind of like just taking it over. And with the same racket face, you're now playing a backhand, which has distinct advantages in the wheelchair tennis game because it gives you a stronger impact point when the ball is above your shoulders. So that is one technical element. Other than that, like I said, I mean, you're still going to do your serve variations, your flat, your kick, your slice serve, spins, drop shots. We're not maybe at the net as much because we're more vulnerable, given that we don't have the height. But by now, the game has evolved to a point where it's an all-court game, with players retrieving from the baseline, but exploiting opportunities to come to the net and be aggressive.
This may be a silly technical question, but I'm curious. I mean, in stand-up tennis, we teach something like a split step. Is there a version of that in wheelchair tennis where it's maybe a first push off of anticipation?
Yeah, very good observation. It's exactly that. It's the balance push. So you're in a neutral position. Let's say you're expecting a shot or in the return position. You want to have firm grip of your push rims on both sides and take a push into the court. And then as you see where the ball is going, you're going to make that turn to the right or the left. So it kind of is the equivalent of the split step, correct?
Very interesting. Obviously, it's a big year for wheelchair tennis athletes in that we have the Paralympic Games, which will be held in France this year, beginning in late August. Are you planning on traveling there? And maybe are what are the expectations for some of our Canadian athletes to get that opportunity again?
Yeah, so it is definitely, as you said, the season highlight, and I would say it's the pinnacle of our sport still, although we are at all four Grand Slams now, but still a Paralympic medal is still the highlight. So currently all our athletes are in the mad dash to try to qualify. Rob Shaw, who's our top athlete in the quad division, he is qualified. So for him, it's preparing and just playing tournaments to get himself ready. So I'm currently training with him. I'll be traveling with him for some tournaments to prepare, and I will be in Paris with him. We have a couple of other athletes who are kind of on the slightly outside of the qualification rankings. They are now trying to play tournaments to get themselves closer. So with a bit of luck, we'll have a couple more athletes other than Rob competing in Paris.
And similar to the stand-up tennis schedule, are there tournaments really kind of year-round around the world for these athletes to have opportunities to gain ranking points?
Correct. There is an ITF tournament tour, very similar in the setup to the ATP WTA tour. So there are ballpark 150 tournaments of all categories, ranging from entry level, comparable to a challenger tournament, all the way to the Grand Slams. So it is very well organized. Obviously, the prize money pales in comparison to the able-bodied world, but it is compared to other Paralympic sport, is I would say it is well organized. And some of your viewers may have encountered wheelchair tennis if they go to Grand Slams, because for the last 10 years, wheelchair tennis is always part of the tournament during the second week of the Grand Slams.
And I know we have you mentioned Rob Shaw. He's a quad athlete. Then we have the open division. What's the main difference there between those two categories?
So the open division is with the athletes with impairments to the lower extremities. So you would have your paraplegic athletes who have full function of their hands and arms and their core. Amputees are often play in the open division, again, because they're fully mobile with their upper body. The quad division, those are athletes who have impairment to the lower extremities, the legs, as well as upper body. So take an athlete like Rob. He has limited capability to actually hold the rackets because of his higher spinal cord injury. So he needs to tape the rackets to the hand, which poses all kinds of challenges. You're now having to play the full game with one grip. So Rob tapes semi-Western, and now he has to execute all shots with that stroke, which takes incredible skill and training. And therefore, that would be the biggest difference between the open and the quad division.
Yeah, I remember I spoke with Rob, I think a couple of years ago, and I forget which tournament he was preparing for, but he was discussing how much the humidity was very much impacting sort of setting up his tape and figuring out a grip situation, which he was sort of expressing this is sort of the hardest thing to do going into that specific tournament. Is that something you guys are sort of always battling when you're working with him?
Always. Just a recent example, we were in Thailand for a country competition comparable to Davis Cup and Billie Jean King Cup. And you're talking 35 degrees, 90% humidity. And just as Rob tapes, he realizes the minute his tape is on, it starts slipping and sliding. He also has to push with his hands on the push rims. And as soon as the mugginess affects those push rims, it becomes super challenging. So oftentimes it's also a choice of tournaments. Do we go to, say, Japan, where the summer heat is as brutal as it can be, or to Asia, or do we pick tournaments if we can with a more moderate climate? That all goes into the preparation as well.
Yeah, well, we're wishing all the best for Rob and all the athletes who do qualify for the Paralympic Games and for the rest of the season. And Kai, thanks so much for sharing all that you do for wheelchair tennis in Canada. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Ben.